Good morning, everybody. You notice something behind me? It might be red. Don't look at it. Okay. Whatever you do today, don't look at the red dot. Okay. Like the rest of the service, restrain your eyes from going over there. Now, you've just been staring at that red dot ever since I said that, right? Like, right now, I want to turn around and look at the red dot. Okay, that's just my thing. So, but right now, you're still looking at the red dot. Stop looking at the red dot. Stop looking at the red dot. Okay. We are in our Fight Club series today. And if you've been here for some of this series, you'll know that these are some pretty difficult Fight Club rules. And I know we're not supposed to talk about Fight Club, but we're talking about the Fight Club rules today. Today, we are learning about the hardest of all the Fight Club rules, the absolute hardest. We've already talked about one of the rules being love your enemies and turn the other cheek. Love your enemies, turn the other cheek. Last week, we talked about laying down your life for your friends and for your enemies. How could it get any harder than this? Okay? This is a big one today. It's really impressive that you came back, that knowing that we're in this complicated series. The one that I think is the most difficult for the most number of people is not to love your enemies and not to lay down your life for your friends or your enemies. I think the single most difficult thing that people do is to love themselves. Love yourself. Why don't you tell your neighbor, love yourself. Love yourself. It's kind of awkward, isn't it? If you don't love yourself, now stay with me, how are you going to love somebody else? You must love yourself well so that you can honestly love other people well. There's a great scripture verse in Ephesians. It says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. That last part. A man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. It's very interesting. I want you to see today that there's a connection between the need to love oneself so that you can love others well. And I want you to understand that when you treat others well, you show love to yourself. And that when you don't love others well, you are not just treating them poorly, you are also showing a certain self-hatred towards yourself, a disdain towards yourself. So just pause and think about this. How many times this week did you treat somebody that you profess to love poorly? Did you say something that you ought not to have said? Did you overreact? You know, all of these kinds of things. And they're just kind of real low level. What's really happening there is that you are definitely treating that person poorly, but you're also, it's coming from a place of not loving yourself well. It is because you don't love yourself well that you don't treat and love other people well. That's the core of it. That's the root of it. So you end up, by not loving yourself well, you end up harming yourself and, unfortunately, harming those around you. Or at least not treating them the way that they deserve to be treated. Everybody still with me now? Like you're just thinking about this. The last couple of years, I've done a lot of traveling. I've been on a plane. A lot of times, I will be on a plane on Monday morning or Tuesday morning and then get back in time for services. But each time I get onto a plane, they say the exact same safety announcement. And one of the things is that when the strange yellow device drops from the ceiling, it's an oxygen mask, you're supposed to put it on yourself. Are you supposed to put it on yourself first or last? First. They always say the same thing. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first so that you can assist other people. Now, I want you to think about that in terms of love. In the same way, you must authentically love yourself before you can authentically love somebody else. You can't give the love to somebody else unless you've given yourself the love. We know this already instinctively, but we somehow fight against it. We know this. If you can't take care of yourself, how will you take care of somebody else? If you aren't strong enough to support yourself, how will you be strong enough to support another person? Just, that makes sense, right? Like you got to be strong enough for yourself and for somebody else. If you are not financially, and I'll teach it to you through this financial idea, if you are not financially able to provide for your own self, how will you financially be able to provide for someone else? You can't. This is perhaps one of the greatest lessons I could ever teach you. It is called the toilet paper philosophy of relationships. Some of you are familiar with this. If a man cannot pay for his own toilet paper, then he is not ready to be in a relationship. Okay? This is true. You're like, well, that doesn't seem that hard. It's harder than you think. If a man cannot pay for his own toilet paper, that means his mama is not paying for his toilet paper. Nobody else is paying for his toilet paper. Can he pay for his own housing? Can he pay for his own expenses? Can he pay for his own existence on the planet? Or does someone else have to pay for him? Now, so it got hard all of a sudden, right? That's part of how you know you're ready, is you can take care of yourself. My dad always used to say, Kurt, books, Buick, and Bride, in that order. Okay? Pay for your college, get to college, get your own car, and then you might be ready. Then you might be ready financially. I understand that there are situations in life where you need help, and there are certain situations that you do. But in normal situations, help is only for a season, not for a lifetime. Okay? So whenever you receive help, the end goal is not to stay getting help. The end goal is to be able to be independent so that you can provide for someone else. The young men that will come chasing after my two daughters, who are still relatively young, rest assured, we will be running Cori checks, credit checks, internet browsing history checks. If it's been deleted, they will be deleted. College transcripts, letters of reference from the pastors of their home church, proof of effective ministry, and the approval by me of a 25-year life plan. All right? So, hold on. Now, that might be understating it a little bit. There might be more. But here's the general point of this idea. How can you take care of somebody else unless you can take care of you? How can you provide for somebody else unless you can provide for you? How can you love somebody else unless you can love you? It makes sense. There are many aspects to loving yourself well. We can't cover them all today. We can only cover a couple. But the first and the most important one is this. In order to love yourself well, you have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. This is one of those things that pops up into our language from time to time. We hear people say, I just can't forgive myself. Or someone will say to a friend, you just need to forgive yourself. Or another person will say, it wasn't until I forgave myself that I was able to move forward. Many people have a very real sense that they've made errors in life, they've made mistakes, they've gotten off track, and they have a deep amount of regret about this. And they feel that in order to have a productive life, they need to resolve issues or reconcile issues from their past before they can move on or move forward. And this is done through forgiveness. Even forgiveness of oneself. This is a good place to be in all honesty. There's another group of people, however, that don't feel that they need forgiveness for anything. They fight the notion that they have ever made any choices that have harmed themselves or harmed anyone else. One thing that people say is this. They say, I wouldn't change anything about my past because it's made me the man I am today. Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? I always think to myself, well, what kind of man do you think you are? It's really not all that impressive. But the underlying problem with this is it's an admission of an underlying sense of pride. That I don't need forgiveness for anything I've ever done. Why would I do that? Listen, some of the things you've done have hurt other people. Some of the things you've done have hurt you. Some of the things you have done have just been downright stupid. You need them to, if you could go back and change it, you should take every opportunity to change it. Because they don't make you who you are. What you do with them sometimes does. In order to forgive yourself, you have to recognize that there is something in you that needs to be forgiven. You can't forgive yourself unless you own that. In order to forgive yourself, it by definition requires something called repentance. And repentance involves this, an acknowledgement or an admission of wrong. Meaning, an admission of wrong without excuse. Like, I know I did that, but. Okay, just kill the but. Everything after that, the but is all wrong, okay? I know I did. I know I was. I know I was wrong. Well, we oftentimes avoid this because of the internal pain that it produces. But there can be no forgiveness unless there is an acknowledgement, an admission, and an ownership of the wrong. You've got to own what you've done in order to find forgiveness. Another thing besides admission is authentic sorrow. This is a true sorrow for the damage that has been done and for the wrong itself. Not a sorrow for being caught. You understand? A lot of people get very sorry they got caught. That's not sorrow. Sorrow is recognizing what I've done was wrong. It was a wrong thing to do, a wrong act to do, a wrong word to say. It was wrong. Saying I am wrong or I was wrong is different also than saying I am sorry. I'm sorry and I'm wrong are not the same things. Do you know why? I'm sorry means a lot of different things. I'm so sorry that you understood it that way. That's not saying I'm wrong. That's saying you're a knucklehead. You should have understood it the way I said it. All right? That's different. I'm so sorry that you can't figure this out. All right? You know, that's not the same thing. If you've done something wrong, you own that it was wrong. Third thing is you begin to change the past. And I know most of you have been taught most of your life you can't change the past. Well, it's not quite true. It is true that actions taken in the past can't be altered, but part of forgiving yourself is by beginning to change the past. It does not involve a time machine. You don't join with a time machine group or something. You simply change your past by changing your future. If you live your life today the way it was meant to be by God, by the time you get to tomorrow, you will have changed your past. You will have one day where your past was changed. You're like, really? Yes, that's how this works. And then you keep building every day in the future, one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. Then you string together a whole group of days. Next thing you know, 10 years have passed and you look back and your past will have been completely changed. For many of you in the room today, you need to be reminded, you're not who you used to be. You're not. You've changed. God is changing you. God has changed you. That is not who you are. It is who you were. And there is a difference. It's time for you to forgive yourself. And so for some of you, this need to forgive yourself is of utmost importance, and you really struggle with it. So let me help you with it a little more. You cannot authentically and fully forgive yourself until you have accepted the forgiveness and leadership of Jesus Christ. It's part of the forgiveness process. You see, in God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, forgiveness is freely given. If you need forgiveness, it's poured out in an immeasurable amount. You can have all the forgiveness that you need and more. But the value of being part of God's kingdom is so great. It's worth so much that when you truly recognize God's kingdom for what it is, you would literally give up everything you have for it. You would sell everything you had. You would give up everything, all your dreams, you would give everything you had just to be part of God's kingdom. That's how valuable it really is. Jesus was telling a story or a parable, and he was trying to describe the kingdom of heaven, and he said this: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything. Somebody say, sold everything. Everything. He owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold what? Everything. Tell your neighbor, sold everything. He sold everything he owned and bought it. Sold everything just for a pearl? This parable that Jesus told was to emphasize that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like this pearl. And it's worth everything you have. It's worth everything you have to get it. It would be, if you did everything, if you sold everything, if you gave up everything, it would still be worth more to you than what you would ever give for it. Now that's a pretty valuable pearl. I've never come across a pearl that was quite that valuable. But maybe you've given something up to get something of value to you. Maybe you've sacrificed something or given up something for a season. Maybe if you bought your first house, you bought a house, and I remember when we bought our home, we sacrificed a lot. We gave up a lot. We put things aside, and we saved, and we saved, and we saved, and we saved, and we saved some more to buy the house. One of my favorite things that I ever saved up for was really not the house. It was my first motorcycle. I don't know if you should call it a sacrifice when you're saving up for a motorcycle, but nonetheless, and it was worth it. But in the parable of the pearl was so valuable that the person sold everything they had to get a pearl. I want you to think about this for a moment. I know this story is really talking about the kingdom of heaven. But imagine that it wasn't a man that went out into the field. Imagine that God went on a walk through the fields one day. Imagine God goes on a walk through the field one day, and he comes across a treasure, a great treasure of immense value, or a pearl of great price, and he sees it. He's like, I have to have this pearl. I have to have this treasure. And so God goes back home, and he gives everything he has to get that pearl. Well, it turns out it's not really a story. It's exactly what God did through Jesus. Jesus gave everything he had, his life, to purchase the pearl that was the most valuable to God. And it turns out that you're the pearl. You, tell your neighbor, you're the pearl. You're the pearl. You are God's pearl. You are God's treasure. That's how valuable you are to God, that God would literally give his life, everything, to purchase your freedom. You're God's pearl. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. You're God's pearl. Literally, Jesus gave his life to purchase our freedom, to purchase your freedom. Back in the days of slavery, there were many people that were deeply bothered by slavery. They didn't entirely know what to do. But there were enough people that did this that it made the history books. There were some people that would go to states where slaves were sold, and they would buy slaves or a slave. Then they would go across state lines and they would set that slave free. They would literally purchase slaves to set them free. It's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus purchased us to set us free. Part of loving yourself, as the worship team comes up, part of loving yourself is forgiving yourself. Part of loving yourself is accepting the forgiveness of Jesus. And part of loving yourself is submitting to the leadership of Jesus Christ. In one place, Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." In another place, Jesus said, "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love." Somebody say remain. Remain. There's this interesting idea here of remaining in the love of God. The love of God is freedom. And the love of God is protective. When God pours out His love on you, He is giving you freedom and He is giving you protection. Remember how earlier I told you to stop looking at the red dot? And not to look at the red dot anymore today. Some of you have just been staring at the red dot the entire service. You can't get that red dot out of your mind. It's just back there. It's taunting you. It's a horrible red dot. But let me say it like this to you. When it comes to the love of God, imagine that the freedom of God, the love of God, is this entire wall. The whole wall. In fact, maybe it's the whole room. The whole room. It's yours, you know. You can be free. Live in the room. But God's love communicates to us through protective barriers, through guidance, through laws, through rules, to point out that there's a certain set of things that are going to harm you. And we'll call that the red dot. You got the whole room. You can look anywhere you want. Don't look at the red dot. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Every time I say red dot, your eyes shoots over. It's hard. It's hard not to look at the red dot. But you have the whole wall. How you love yourself is by operating in the freedom that Christ gives you. You live over there. You live over there and over there, and you are free over there and you're free over there. But if you touch that red dot, you will stop being free. That's the nature of the red dot. That's the nature of the problem. Is God wants freedom for you and He wants freedom for me. He wants freedom for everybody. But the red dot sucks you in. But God was loving enough to tell us where the red dot was. You don't have to. I mean, people don't know what God's laws and love are. They accidentally do. But when you know, it's not an accident anymore. You know where it's at. You can avoid it. You don't have to go that way. But the moment you start to touch the red dot, you get captive. It locks you. It holds you. It pulls you back. It sucks you in. It's like it's an enormous vacuum or black hole just sucking everything in. But God's love communicates to us, this is something that will harm you. I want you to live in freedom so you have everything else. You have everything else. You love yourself by operating in the freedom of Christ, in the whole wall, not the red dot. The Bible has the path of freedom, the love of God, the law of God. And when you have been attached to the red dot your whole life, and then you hear about Jesus and you hear about the scriptures, at first it can be a little bit confusing because it's what you've known your whole life. You think that the dot is the freedom, but it's not. It's the captivity. Christ's love sets us free from that. It sets us free from that past. Christ's love forgives us and empowers us to even forgive ourselves. You love yourself by living in freedom. By living everywhere else in your life in freedom. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Today, I want you to know this. You love yourself by honoring the plans that God has for you. By honoring the plans that God has to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what God wants. Today, as the worship team closes us, for some of you here today, it's time. It's time for you to give yourself permission to forgive yourself. You can't love somebody else well until you love yourself well. And part of that is forgiveness. Forgiveness of yourself. You want to love those around you well. Make sure you love yourself well. Today, if you've never accepted the forgiveness and leadership of Christ, then do that today. Simply talk to God and ask God to forgive you of your sins and to lead your life and to begin to follow the path that He has for you. If you want today, you can come to the altar. The altar is open as the worship team closes us. Just spend some time in prayer, however you'd like today. But just spend a moment. Make sure that we do this part of Fight Club. Love yourself.
Thank you that you did not just let us live with unforgiveness. You did not let us live with despair, but that you gave us a path. You gave us a path to freedom, and you gave us your love. Help us today to live in that freedom, to love ourselves well, to forgive ourselves. And may we find today that we leave this place burdens lifted, and your plans in place for each and every day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.